I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Howdy, hour number two. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Here we are as we come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply. Understand fully, mortgage confidently. Good job on the phones early with Kaepernick stuff with Seattle. That's what we started with. 1-855-212-4227. I'll get some more calls again pretty shortly. Nice job, Sirius. Nice representation as well. If you're new to the show, SiriusXM, about a month ago, maybe? Roughly?
Yeah, over a month ago.
SiriusXM Channel 206, and of course, all of our great affiliates.
Yeah, they've been great.
And they have been around the country, almost 150 of them here. Get us on Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. Hit us up. We might even get you back. Pretty good chance that we actually will, if it's thought-provoking enough. All right, so the NBA playoffs are upon us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, unlike the NFL wild card weekend, flip a coin.
Yep.
Unlike the one game wild card for baseball or, you know, the first round, flip a coin. Mm-hmm. Any round in baseball, pitching, you just never know. Flip a coin. Hockey, get a hot goalie, inferior team could roll through. I don't want to say flip a coin, but certainly trending more in that direction than you know, having a good sense of what's going to happen. The one sport that we usually know what's going to happen is the NBA.
Yeah.
You know, the one seed that won 64 games in the East is going to obliterate the doormat, the eighth seed in the East, and then the team that won almost 70 games in the West is going to do the same. That's not the case this year at all. This is set up pretty nice. This will be fun.
Especially in the East, and we'll start there. I think the Rockets have a great chance of beating up the Minnesota Timberwolves, even without Luke Bamute because he's out with a separated shoulder.
Wow.
He's their best defender, but Houston scores so effectively, BT. It's hard to like.
Who's stopping Karl Anthony Towns? Just asking.
I mean.
Is it Capella?
It's not even about stopping Karl Anthony Towns. I believe Karl Anthony Towns could score 30 and they still lose by 15.
Really? Wow.
That's how effective.
You're not giving the T-Wolves any respect at all.
That's just how effective I believe the Houston Rockets are offensively. But that's the West. In the East, though, like you talk about that foregone conclusion, one is going to destroy eight. Am I extraordinarily confident that the Toronto Raptors are going to run through the Washington Wizards?
Nope.
Absolutely not.
They could lose the series.
The reason the Wizards are where they are is because John Wall was out for 6 weeks, or maybe longer, maybe 8 weeks that he was out, and they were up and down and riding that roller coaster. But now he's back and he's healthy. I mean, there's a good chance we can get an 8-1 upset in the first round of the NBA playoffs this year. And then the other one is the 2-7 matchup. Again, usually a foregone conclusion. But the Boston Celtics, without Kyrie Irving, Marcus Smart is cleared to play. But, I mean, how effective is he? If he's going to be out for a month plus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, could the Bucks provide them some fight? So the East is particularly interesting because I think not only will you see, as you stated earlier, a lot of these series going to six games, you could see a colossal upset in round one of the NBA Eastern Conference this year.
Yeah, you know, no doubt. One of the things that usually you get, you know, at this time of the year, and LeBron's certainly been able to capitalize on this, number one, because he's great, but it's also circumstances where you, and the Warriors, of course, too, you roll through the first round, you kick your feet up. You kick your feet up, watch two other teams beat themselves up a little bit, get a little length, six games, maybe a seventh game, get on the airplane, go back, fly across the country, or not across the country.
Yeah.
But in some cases, you're putting on some miles, depending upon the matchup. I look at all these. Now, I have much more confidence. I think that the obituary that's been written or at least crafted in the minds of some about the Warriors is woefully off base. I think the Warriors are going to play well, and I think they're going to mop the floor with the Spurs. I'm not worried about that one at all.
I would say so, too, because I look at the Spurs and I say, well, who's that guy? Who's doing it?
Who's taking the shot?
Yeah, who's doing it? And I don't see it.
No. The only other one would be Wizards-Raptors, as you pointed out, tight. The Sixers-Heat. The only thing, I do think Miami's probably going to get a game at home, well-coached, good franchise, you know. I can't quantify the emotions of Philly the first time through.
But you don't have to quantify it. You can see it, though, BT. You watched that game last night.
Yeah.
And it was a meaningless game.
Yeah.
76ers last night. I mean, obviously, they were in a quasi-tie with the Cavaliers, so it mattered for seeding, in a sense. Because they moved into the three seed.
They'd much prefer to play Miami than play the play the Pacers.
But it was relatively a meaningless game.
Mm-hmm.
They destroyed them last night. I mean, they had 70-something points at half.
Fultz had a triple-double.
And I know.
Fultz.
Bench player. Came off the bench and played 25 minutes and had a triple-double.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. I mean, they can be dominant. And it's not something that I thought that I would see about the 76ers this year. Maybe like next year down the road.
Yep.
They've been dominant in some games this year.
Okay. I mean, bottom line is the quick thumbnail sketch is that Teague and I both expect some very competitive first-round matchups, which we don't always get.
Mm-hmm.
Let's find out a little bit more. Tony Delk was a beast at Kentucky. 13-year NBA career. I was watching him on the tube. He was doing some NBA TV. He's an analyst that is with us here on Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. Tony, what's happening, buddy? Welcome to our show. How are you?
Not too much, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, it's all good, man. Tony Delk, a name for the past. We'll always talk shop with Tony Delk. Why wouldn't we?
Yeah, man.
You know?
Just a few years ago. Not too long ago.
Not too long. Yeah, you're not 50. You're not 60. Not that long ago.
You know
what I mean? All right, let me ask you this here. One thing that we usually get, and it's a turnoff, and I think – outside of devout NBA fans like us, a lot of people complain historically, the first round, the regular season stinks, the first round's a mop job, get out the sweep. As Teak and I were just detailing, the first round this year, almost every series, it looks like we get some length, going to be pretty competitive. Do you agree with that? What's your thoughts on the overall view of the first round?
Well, I have to agree with you guys. I think it's going to be important that, you know, everyone, like I said, the regular season is behind us, but I don't see a sweep in any of these series. I see 6 and 7 game series, in a couple of these rounds. I mean, a couple of these different teams that we have facing one another. So I'm excited about this time of year. There's been a lot of parity and a lot of teams that have surprised me. You know, and I think one being probably Philadelphia, and the other one being out west would be Utah after losing Gordon Hayward and just where the position they're in right now. So I think the NBA. It should be an exciting postseason that everyone should basically be tuning into and making sure they're watching their favorite team or just watching some good competitive basketball.
Yeah, you know, Tony, I think you're right. The competitive one, too, is going to be a 1-8 matchup in the Eastern Conference. We always talk about Toronto, and they have these great regular seasons. I think Casey has done a good job in changing the philosophy of that team, and it showed. That's why they were number one seed in the East this year. But there's always that doubt in the back of your mind. You know, it's like, is Kyle Lowry going to disappear this year? Or are they not going to be able to come through in the clutch? But on the other side of this, the Washington Wizards have had issues as well. John Wall getting to beef with Gortat, and he misses some time.
Right.
And he's like, we don't need you. Actually, they do need him. But now he's back. I mean, this 1-8 matchup in the Eastern Conference might be the most compelling one of the first round, and we might get an 8-1 upset.
I mean, there is a possibility, especially with that Washington team. You know, if the same team that showed up played against Boston Celtics, they have a shot to beat Toronto. I think Toronto is a team that, as I look at them, I still don't trust them. There's something that's missing when it comes to a trust factor in the team that can get to the Eastern Conference Finals or maybe even make it to the Finals. I don't know what it is. Something is missing there. But if Washington come out and play like they played against Boston, you know, and John is clicking and Bradley Beal, he's knocking out shots from outside. They're protecting the rim. They're playing good defense. And there's no turmoil. You know, they have a very good shot of upsetting Toronto in that first round. So Toronto, I think they know that they can't come in thinking that they're the number one, just the dominant team. Like they've been dominant all year. They know they're going to have a dog fight in front of them.
We're talking to Tony Delk, of course, former Kentucky star. Tony, 13 years in the NBA, analyst, NBA TV, is with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. You know, your era, even though it's not that long ago, but it's changed a little bit where, I mean, if you're healthy, you're going to strap it on. You're going to play 82 games.
Yeah.
There's none of this maintenance nonsense that is kind of that's crept into the sport. Although it's actually not fully nonsense. It's been proven by pretty smart people that obviously is advantageous for some. But I want to I'm sorry. Good. Did you want to add to that? Or?
Yeah, I think we have to owe a lot of that to Popovich, you know, just in how he rests players. And I think it's
it helps with the longevity. You know, if you think about 82 games is a long season, and then you have to get into the playoff, and that's not even counting the 6 to 8 games that you might play in the preseason. So you have to be smart. Technology's come a long way, and players are taking better care of their bodies. And, you know, I like where it's at right now. Of course, you know, LeBron in his 15th year is playing, you know, he's playing in 82 games, or played in 82 games last night, and I didn't see that coming. But once again, it lets you know how important taking care of your body is, especially for the longevity.
No, there's no doubt. No, but I wanted to actually focus on LeBron. I'm happy you brought him up there, Tony, because the 82 games, nobody's ever played more minutes in an NBA season than LeBron James played this past year, which is amazing and another testament to his overall brilliance here. But residually, you know, the Pacers are a tough team, as we just talked about, probably not going to sweep any. Or, you know, a lot of these series will have some length. He can't coast like he used to. How much damage from playing 82 games and playing 40 minutes a night will creep into the second season for LeBron, do you think?
Well, I think he's just so locked in right now. He is a different kind of specimen. You know, he's that ultimate competitor, you know, and he just knows how much energy to exert on offense and defense. And I just think, you know, he's done this before. You know, this not his first rodeo. You know, he knows how to get past that first round, how important the first game is, you know, to get that victory. But then also he's able to, you know, will his team when no other team has a player like LeBron. You know, and I think the problem, what I see the East when it comes to matching up with LeBron from every other team, is that no one really has anyone that could really match up with LeBron. And I think that's been his, you know, the thing that separated him from so many different other players is, you know, he's a mismatch nightmare because of what he does physically, but also how he handles the ball. And, you know, he's able to run out, you know, start the fast break with the rebounds. He's a special player that you don't see any other teams having an answer to stopping him.
You know, Tony, let me ask you about the other team that was been in the finals the last couple of years with LeBron and the Cavaliers. That's the Golden State Warriors. Obviously, Steph Curry is not playing in the first round. And even though KD is the second, I mean, we say this, and maybe it's true, maybe it's not, but whatever, he's the second best player in the world. But he doesn't have that same, I don't know, let's call it a superpower that LeBron does, right? Do you feel like the Warriors are vulnerable a little bit this year because of Steph's injury? And KD, who's great, oftentimes gets you know, stuck on himself at the end of games and doesn't make those shots. You know what I mean?
There is something missing. I don't know what it is, and maybe it is Steph Curry. I mean, the Steph Curry factor. But, you know, even with Kevin Durant having big games, I mean, they've still lost. And also, you know, every time they play someone, they're going to get that opponent's best game. And, you know, so they can't have a bad game. But I think once this playoff starts, you're going to have the professionalism of a team that's won championships. And Coast has also been in the grind and in the trenches with them. So they're going to prepare totally different. I think they're going to be locked in to a different season than the regular season. And I just think they were at the end and they wanted this regular season to get over so they could start the real postseason and start working towards that championship. But you're right, I think there is a little something missing. I don't know if it's that, you know, having Steph out there as another go-to guy. But what you do have is, you know, KD, who is very capable of taking over a game.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be predicated on how well they play defense. And, you know, they're going to have a tough first-round match. And I don't know if Kawhi Leonard is going to be – I still don't know about that 15-man roster that San Antonio Coach Popovich has put in to see if Kawhi is playing. If Kawhi is playing, it's a whole different series.
Yeah, but he hasn't played all year. And obviously Steve Kerr has mentioned the defense as well. Tony, give us a quick synopsis on your book, Shooter, the story behind the double zeros. Tell us a little bit about this real quick.
Well, it's about my life story of growing up in Brownsville, Tennessee, a rural town of about 8,000 to 10,000 people. And just the hard work, the determination, and just having brothers to push me to the highest limits, to the highest level of playing basketball, but also just having a great community in Brownsville, Tennessee behind me to support me, and then just having teammates to sacrifice their game so I can be successful. And then just, you know, letting kids know that, you know, what you put into basketball is what you want to get out of. And I spent countless hours, you know, throughout the days, the months, the years of playing this game. But it gave me a lot back in return. So just the fun and the grind of doing something that you love.
It's awesome. Tony, really good having you on the show. We'll give you a little pop on social media with a link to the book. Good job. Yeah. Love to watch.
TLDuckEnterprises.com. TLDuckEnterprises.com. You can find my wine, the book, the clinics I'm doing.
Nice. You got to send us a couple bottles, man. Send us a couple bottles.
Hey, we got to sample the product.
Okay, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you, Tony.
You got it. Tony Delk, one of the great names in college hoops, certainly of our time. And pretty good 13-year run in the NBA as well. You know, bounce around a little bit, but good locker room guy, good shooter. Always a little undersized, not quite a pure one, a little undersized for the two, but always found a way.
Yep.
Teams kept, you know, giving him a contract because Tony was an asset.
Yeah, you can score off the bench. You're a good player.
Yeah, I always liked Tony Delk. Good stuff there. All right, coming up next, guys, a couple of NBA jobs are already open, including the New York Knicks. Potentially great job or career suicide? We'll get to that coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network here. Good stuff, Tony Delk. Nice debut on the show as we set the scene for the weekend. First round of the NBA playoffs begin Saturday. You got four games throughout. And it's fun, four throughout the day. So if you're out with the kids and you miss something, you know, daddy comes home, maybe pours a little scotch, family's asleep, watch the late game. This is where it gets nice.
Exactly.
Late night baseball.
It gets easy.
You know? And of course, four games on Sunday. So there's also a lot of coaching news. Now, I do like the fact that the Knicks and the Magic didn't waste time.
Yeah.
If you know you're not going to keep somebody,
agreed.
Do the right thing, show respect.
As soon as the last whistle was over, Hornacek was going to be out. But the question with the Knicks, and we've kind of had this, we've maybe danced around this a little bit because we didn't know that Jeff Hornacek was not going to be there next year. But if you're a prospective new coach of the Knicks, do you look at the Knicks as a good job or is it like career suicide in a sense?
Well, you'd have to be more specific with the person. Because I do think that's important.
Yeah.
For somebody like Mark Jackson.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
Who would have an inordinate amount of, you know, goodwill and cachet in the city, having played at St. John's and winning Rookie of the Year for the Knicks back in 87, et cetera. Mets broadcaster, great relationship with Van Gundy and Mike Breen, who, you know, Breen does the Knicks. He's a New York guy. He went to high school in Brooklyn, Queens. I mean, yeah. Mark Jackson needs a job. I mean, quite frankly, Mark Jackson's been out of the game for a couple of years now.
Meaning a coaching job.
He needs money.
He has a TV job.
Oh, a great one.
And he's great at it. And he could do that forever if he wanted to. But if he has aspirations to be a head coach again, it's getting a little long from the last time he coached.
And there hasn't been an offer. I mean, and there's been a lot. You know, Hornacek was hired by the Knicks. The Bucks hired Jason Kidd. There's been a lot. You know, Atkinson was brought in by the Nets, who I really like, Kenny, even though they lost a lot of games. I think they're competitive.
Ty Lue, with zero experience, was hired by the Cavaliers.
Brown for the Sixers. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, that didn't even think about hiring Mark Jackson. So if you're asking me, do I think it's a good move for Mark Jackson? Yeah, the answer would be yes. Do I think it's a good move for Doc Rivers if he were to get shaken loose, and I think he might, from the Clippers? Yeah, I mean, I guess. See, the problem, I think the more interesting one is Jay Wright. If I'm that should be the Knicks' number one target.
Okay,
here.
So let me re-ask the question: Is the Knicks a good job for Jay Wright?
It would be a terrible job for Jay Wright. it would be a horrific job for Jay Wright, and here's why.
Why?
Number one, he'd get paid, and Dolan would just hand him the blank check. He'd probably get probably a sixth year, just based on his currency coming off the championship. Now, from Jay's point of view, you lose the player of the year in Brunson, and Bridges is going to be a top 10 pick, and you win the championship. So you would think the time to jump is now, all right? He's a Philly guy, and I do think he's going to coach in the NBA for sure. And, you know, who knows? Maybe the Knicks throw so much money they convince him to take the job. But here's why I think – and by the way, as a Knicks fan, I hope he takes it. But I'm answering this from Jay's perspective. The Celtics have a – this is your division. Just hear me on this. You got a terrific GM and a terrific coach in Ainge and Stevens.
True.
You got two kids, Jaylen Brown and Tatum. Two top three picks who are 20 and 21 years of age going nowhere. Forget about Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. Just look at the assets they have. Great fan base, nice arena, winning tradition. Celtics, much better off than the Knicks. 76ers. Mm. You might very well have the two most unique players, uniquely gifted in the NBA.
Yeah.
Joel Embiid,
yeah,
24.
And Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons is 20, 21. 20, he's going to be 21 this summer.
And you got Markelle Fultz, who's now coming into his own in 10 games and playing like the best bench player in basketball.
You've got that. And by the way, their salary cap, because I think this is part of the equation as well, this year they were 22nd, so they've got great financial flexibility to improve because J.J. Redick was a one-year deal, as you know. And next year they're 29th, so they can add to their young core. Philadelphia, it's a great sports city. They love basketball. They've been down for so long. They're back, and that is, they are going to be good for a decade. That's the other team in the division. The Raptors. Okay. Kyle Lowry's 32, and he's kind of a, I like Kyle, but I thought that was an irresponsible contract the Raptors gave him personally, and I said that when they did that. But DeMar DeRozan's 28. Mm-hmm. He's still very much in his prime. He's one of the top 10 or 12 players, truly, without any sort of stretch, in the NBA. They've got a great arena, great, smart, savvy ownership and decision makers. If you're Jay Wright, you look at the asset versus the deficiency list, right? Yeah. Here's the Knicks' assets. Kristaps Porzingis with a shredded knee. Okay?
So that's probably not even an asset.
But I'm saying, I have to almost position their compromised assets as assets because there's such a dearth of actual assets. The other asset, and I'll put quotes here, and I kind of like the kid, but you draft Frank Ntilikina 8th overall as a point guard. I actually think he's probably more of a 2-guard. Mm-hmm. So the kid that you draft top 10, he's in the wrong position. You got this mishmash of, does Cantor stay? Does Trey, what exactly is Trey? You tell me. Why are the Knicks a good, and not to mention the knucklehead who owns it, Dolan.
You put yourself at the bottom of the barrel from the very beginning, and then you're fighting up through sharks. You know what I mean? Fighting up through razor blades. It's not an easy road to the top. Even if you are a superior coach, which would be debatable in that division, to be honest with you.
So,
So it's just, I hear you. So the answer is no. It's not a good job.
Now, the other thing to keep in mind is, and every team's got a little bit of a weight salary-wise. Joakim Noah is due 18.5 next year.
Yeah.
And 19, now there's the stretch provision.
Yeah.
There's ways to circumvent that, get a little cap relief, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. If the Sixers were still terrible and the Celtics, and as I said, by the way, even the Nets, I really like Kenny Atkinson. Like, I don't know if I like Russell as a main figure moving forward. I like Dinwiddie. But at least he's laid a foundation of competitiveness, like of accountability for the Nets.
Yeah, agreed. So absent the Knicks then, if Jay Wright were to think about jumping to the NBA.
He's not jumping with this group.
So
I think he waits another year.
But what if the Magic or the Suns?
I think the Magic.
Or the Clippers.
He's not a West Coast guy.
Or the Clipper. Yeah,
he's an East Coast guy.
So that answers the question.
The Magic job is interesting in the sense that, listen, I said this 2 months ago, that I really believe that Jerry Stackhouse is going to be in the mix for the Knicks job.
Yep, his G League team is playing for a G League championship again.
The Raptors, And he's done some AAU stuff. He's done some international stuff. I think Jerry Stackhouse, from my days in Detroit, having interviewed Stack a lot and liking him, is a no-nonsense ass-kicker.
Yeah.
Jerry Stackhouse, I think, would be great for Orlando. Because they're young, you know what I mean.
Yeah,
come in, plant the seeds.
They can relate. They recognize his brilliance as a player.
He was a little chucker, but
on top of that, because he's sometimes these guys make this transition into coaching, but a lot of them don't. But he seemingly has, and so there's a respect that comes from being a player, but also the success, even though it is the G League, but it's still success nonetheless.
Sure,
is valuable, and young players will listen to you. Now, if you're just a guy who's coming off the street and you're a terrible team, you know this is different than Ty Lue going to a LeBron James led and Kyrie Irving led a Cleveland Cavaliers team where you kind of don't. I mean, you need to coach, but you don't really need to, you know, instill some things in these guys. It's different. But Jerry Stackhouse, having done it the hard way. Meaning, Stack, here's a head coaching job in the NBA.
Like the Knicks did with Derek Fisher.
Yeah, exactly.
that worked out well.
like the Cavs did with Ty Lue. Same thing. But having to earn it, there's value in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so his reputation as a player.
If it doesn't kill you first.
Exactly. And I think that's something that will serve him well. I think he'll be head coach in the NBA next year. It's just a matter of where.
So you think Jay jumps?
I think no, not Jay. I'm talking about.
I'm sorry, Stack. She's still on Stack. Gotcha.
I think Stack.
Oh,
does.
So do I.
Yeah,
I think Stack's getting a job this summer.
I think
or
so as well.
In the next couple of weeks, no doubt. If you ask me to really, if I had to put money on who I think the Knicks are going to hire, I don't think Doc is coming here. I personally don't think that. Mark Jackson's got the fan vote. I know that. I know that Steve Mills went to college with David Blatt. Mm. He'll be heavily involved in the process. I'm not sure I would make that move.
I mean, he was known as a rebuilder. The problem in Cleveland is they weren't rebuilding anymore.
I'd say who I do like is Fizdale.
Mm. Yeah,
that's a guy coming from Miami as the assistant, got screwed by Memphis, defensive guy, a culture guy. I'd probably say Mark Jackson, and it sucks because he's one of my all-time favorites. I don't know if that's the right move.
Yeah. Jay Wright stays in college.
And if he does jump to the NBA, I don't think he's coming to the Knicks. If I'm Jay Wright, I really wouldn't. I wouldn't. There's no assets. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Whether it's homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, get it all at geico.com. Axe update, football at the 40s after that. Rich. In the house. Here's Zach.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Ba-da-da-da-da. Ba-da-da-da-da. This is Mother Blippi D-R-E. Ba-da-da-da-da. What do I sound? I must sound like a lunatic when I hear that. I don't know, like, if I'm listening to this show, whether you're in Iowa, San Francisco, Brooklyn. Well, if you're from Brooklyn, you know me, so you probably like me. Or hate me, actually. Nah, you like me. You love me. But I'm saying, do I like this guy or is this guy out of his mind weird? Hopefully it's the former.
Both.
Ba-da-da-da-da. It's the mother bleeping D-R-E. This guy helps me out with nothing over here. Get no rap help from my partner. All right, time now for an injury report brought to you by the Salt Institute. Teak, we take a look at the latest injuries here. Their respective two seeds in the NBA, the Celtics and the Warriors, a little bit banged up. And the Celtics are missing Kyrie Irving due to a knee injury, obviously out the whole way. And the Dubs, they'll be without Steph Curry with a sprained left MCL. So both teams are obviously a bit compromised. Supporting cast will have to step up and show out. Aside from water, salt is one of the most common food ingredients we consume, and that's no accident. Sodium is required to make every cell in your body function. Everything's better with a little salt. Find out why at alittlesalt.org. Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network here. We're going to get to football at the 40s in a minute. The one thing, just to add this to, and this applies to every team, but I happen to have the Knicks stuff in front of me because I was doing this before the show. You know, you look at when you give coaches 2 years.
Yeah.
What Vogel had 2 years, right, in Orlando? That was it. That was a quick hook. I was a little surprised by that. Not that he earned an extension, but, I mean, 2 years. Hornacek 2 years, yep. Derek Fisher 2 years, you know, Mike Woodson a couple of years, D'Antoni 3 years. It's like, I don't know how you gain any continuity.
What can you do? What can you do in 2 years? The only justification behind it is that you've changed your philosophy. And for the Knicks, it makes sense, right? They hired Phil Jackson. They had all of these thoughts and ideas about bringing back the triangle or whatever. And Hornacek fit that. And you obviously fired Phil Jackson. It makes sense that you would then go find a new coach to implement a different philosophy. But I don't think that's the case in Orlando with Frank Vogel.
Yeah.
So I mean, I didn't follow them close enough this year to know what happened.
Young team, some talented players,
but still, and also tons of injuries. I think the collective missed number of games like 127 of their starting players missed 127 games. So it's kind of not even his fault. But still, it's that one seems quick. The Knicks, I can understand. The Magic, that seems a little hasty.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. You know, I almost get the sense there's maybe some internal conflict there. You know, Vogel seemed like a pretty easygoing guy for the most part.
He was until he stopped coming on TKT.
You know, I wasn't going to say it, but now that you throw it out of the bag, I think I'm going to have to say it.
It just was.
We had Frank Vogel on when he first started to make that little run with the Pacers. Yep. We're like, man, this guy's good. New Jersey guy, Frank Vogel. We like Frank Vogel. Even though he beat my Knicks, which I didn't like when they beat us in six. But I'm like, this guy's a superstar. Uh-huh. Got him on the show, real laid back, really approachable, just a good guy. Got a little too big for his britches, you know. And as he started to win games and he got the big contract, he didn't return our calls. Yep. And Listen, the Tiki and Tierney mojo works two ways.
You're right.
Not that we send it your way negatively by design.
It just happens.
We wouldn't do that.
It just happens.
It does just happen on occasion, and it may have happened to Coach Vogel.
Just saying.
All right, football at the 40s. Let's go.
40-yard kick right hash mark.
40 yards on the return.
A 40-yard touchdown.
40 yards.
You love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, let's connect the dots to a couple of the stories Tiki and I have hit throughout the last couple of weeks. Now, the overall feel throughout the NFL is that teams believe that Odell Beckham Jr. is completely off the trade block.
Yep. Never was on it.
Challenge you on that, yeah, but it does seem like he's going to be around for a little bit.
Yeah, I think he's going to be around. And the question is, how much can you afford to pay him? Now, we just saw his LSU teammate get paid, like the fifth highest paid receiver in the National Football League, Jarvis Landry, making $15.1 million, 5 years, $75 million. So you know if Jarvis Landry, who had 112 receptions last year for 960 yards or something, I think it's a lowly, like 10.1 yards per reception. It gets that much money, OBJ is going to make a ton. They just got to figure out how to do it. And I think as long as he is doing the right things, which he did by showing up for the first day of offseason workouts, it makes the contract negotiation easier.
Here's the thing, though, and this is human nature still has to kick in at some point. I know you were kidding. You certainly believe that they were motivated to at least explore the trade market back.
Without a doubt.
Okay.
But if you're going to give up a generational player like that, you better get back two first-round draft picks. And no team is willing to do that in 2017, 2018.
I don't disagree with that either. But there's a big difference between teams believing that he's off the market. Not necessarily off the market because the Giants now want to give him $20 million a season, but off the market because the Giants couldn't get what they wanted.
Yeah.
Well, if they would have gotten what they wanted, he'd be an ex-Giant.
Hey,
he'd be an ex-Giant.
I used to have an old coach. He's actually still coaching, Eric Studisville. He's out Denver Broncos.
Studisville.
He was interim head coach for a while after Josh McDaniels got fired. He used to say, we should put a sign up here that says hiring all positions. Nobody is not expendable.
Okay. That covers it. This came out of nowhere. Landon Collins.
Yes,
and this is a little worrisome here for the New York Giants. Yeah. He's a terrific player. He's a borderline great player when he's locked in and ready. He's got some help in front of him. May need additional surgery on his fractured arm, which could, you know, put him on ice for, you know, a couple of months.
Yeah,
this is a little tiny procedure.
These things are like, well, anything with a fracture in your arm is generally for 6 or 8 weeks or something like that, depending on how fast you heal. You got to get a little calcification on the bone, which actually makes it stronger, right?
It's like skeletal glue.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to look at it as
so you remember when I broke my forearm in 2000, we were going to the Super Bowl, and I broke it like the 14th or 15th week of the season and played through it because I didn't know it was broke. But I didn't have a complex break. You know what I mean? It was just like a crack.
Uh-huh.
Right? The fact that he had a fracture last season, which is well over 2 months ago, and it still hasn't healed, it means that something's not healing right, or they said it incorrectly when they originally did it. Now, I don't know all the details of why the second surgery. I hope it's not an infection, because that's probably worse than having, you know, a missed set. But this is something they need to worry about, because you don't want to have this re-injured and then put him out of commission again.
Should it impact what they do on draft day? Not with the second pick, but I mean maybe middle rounds? I mean, you have to guard against something here?
I don't think so. I mean, it's an arm. I mean, if it was like like your tibia or fibia, maybe, like a lower body extremity, I'd say yes. But an arm, I'm saying no. I don't think it should affect him on draft.
Okay. How about this? Speaking of the draft, now, Bill Belichick has hinted, at least that's the word on the street, that he likes Lamar Jackson. And this, Deion Sanders, let's give Deion a little credit. Deion Sanders at least knows Lamar Jackson's a football player.
Look,
at least he knows that. He does know that, not like the other safety from Tennessee.
This is a little convoluted, BT. This is a little bit of we pay too much attention to social media.
You think?
Bucky Brooks of the NFL Network put something out on Instagram, and the NFL Network does a great job with this. You know, these little memes that they put out of juxtaposing Bill Belichick with Lamar Jackson. And Bucky Brooks's quote was, if I'm Bill Belichick and I've seen how Deshaun Watson has been so effective for the Houston Texans. I want a guy like Lamar Jackson, which then Deion Sanders commented on and said, about time y'all represent, or whatever he said. About time y'all realize
the word
this.
Revelation, I think, is the word,
you come to this revelation.
Yep.
To which Tom Brady.
Oh, here we go. This
then,
is the nugget.
Then responds and says,
boom.
He's a beast.
He's a beast. With a, verified with account,
with
Tom
a,
Brady.
With a thumbs up
That's
emoji.
Right. Was it a yellow thumbs up or did he make it a white thumbs up?
I think
up?
He made it white.
Okay. By the way, when you send me, your emojis are the darkest emojis that you
can.
Right.
No, you can go darker.
But they don't match your skin color.
There's not one that matches my skin color.
Yeah, there's a shade or two in between.
There's like Sub-Saharan Africa black.
And well, that's the one you send me.
No, it's not. It's the middle one. And then there's like what I am. I told you my dad wrote me and said, you know, like, I'm half Middle Eastern and half like
You didn't tell
Dutch.
Me this part. No.
Yeah, he's got like all this. It's crazy. I know my grandmother's got some Indian in her, some Caucasian.
Yeah.
I'm weird. But you're right. There isn't one that's correct. But so Tom Brady writes, he's a beast. And now everybody's saying, oh, the Patriots are going to draft Lamar Jackson.
Hey.
Look, they need a quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. I think New Orleans
it's a lot of nothing.
Is more in the
lot of nothing.
More in the mix for Lamar Jackson than the New England Patriots.
By the way, Pats, if they want Lamar Jackson, be prepared to move up. Because he's going to be gone.
I agree. 100%.
If certain teams know what's up. Lamar Jackson could play.
Yeah.
How about this? Mike Mayock, let's get to this, who is a draft analyst, NFL Network, does Notre Dame games as well, is annoyed that he wasn't in the running for the Monday Night Football or the Thursday Night Football commentating gigs.
I so get this.
I want you to take the reins on this, but he was so thorough in his disdain and his explanation. It didn't seem a little too much.
Well,
I mean, we'll get passed over for jobs that we might want at some point.
I think his frustration stems from the fact that a lot of the networks go straight to stars now. And so you don't pay your dues as a analyst in the NFL anymore. It's not like, oh, I did this and this and this and this, and then now I'm going to finally get the chance.
Mm-hmm.
It's, okay, who's available right now? Oh, well, Peyton Manning's available. Let's go get him. Oh, well, Jay Cutler's available.
Tony Romo.
Let's go get him. Tony Romo is available. Let's go get the biggest name we can go find, as opposed to going to get a guy like Mike Mayock, who has done college for a long time,
and he's
good, and it's what he loves to do. But as soon as this Fox opportunity came open, they went for Peyton Manning. He turned them down, and then they instead, because Peyton won't do it, they go for Troy Aikman. So Troy Aikman's now going to be doing two jobs. He's going to do it in a Thursday night gig and his regular Sunday gig.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Mayock is just frustrated by the lack of opportunities for a guy who wasn't a superstar player, but has actually paid his dues as an analyst in for the game of football.
I mean, listen,
I get it. I understand it.
I respect the honesty. I just felt like he was a little bit too. I don't know.
It's not going to solve anything.
No, he says I'm highly frustrated and I'm agitated. And when you don't have a big, I mean, a lot of what he says makes sense. I get it. Mm-hmm. When you don't have a big name coming out, you know, I played two seasons and I wasn't any good and I couldn't stay healthy. If you don't have a Hall of Fame jacket, it's hard to get a high-level job calling games in our industry. Now, I've done Notre Dame nationally on Saturdays. I've done TNF and NFL Network. I feel like I've been there and I've shown what I can do and that I care about. And by the way, it's my favorite thing. He talks about his affinity for doing the games more so than the draft, even though he's positioned as a draft expert. Listen, even if he says he might be 1,000% right, but analyzing talent is still a subjective thing.
Yeah.
And the decision makers might not think that he's the best man for the job.
You're right.
They might be wrong.
You're right.
They might be right. But you know what? I guess at the end of the day, I laud his openness.
I
like Mike Mayock.
I do too.
A lot of people say he's a little bit too, you know, a little too verbose. You know what? That's his job. When you're on a game, you're supposed to speak.
I agreed.
I mean, when you're doing a game, you have to talk.
Yes.
You have to expound.
And as long as you can make it understandable for the layman, you're doing a good job.
And lay out when the play-by-play man's doing his thing.
Yes.
You know, as our buddy in New England doesn't do. Right? Yeah. Why am I forgetting his name? The backup quarterback. Zolak was awesome.
Zolak.
He's a maniac.
Steps all over his play-by-play guy.
The Bengals guys do that, too.
I know.
They're Mixon, right? Is it Mixon?
Well, Zolak.
What's his name?
And we love Zolak.
Oh, Zolak's tremendous.
But Zolak is the biggest homer there is.
He is.
So it's kind of awesome.
It's like a wrestler in the booth.
It's kind of awesome when you listen to him.
Yep.
As long as you're a Pats fan.
True.
That was Football at the 40 with Kiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Get you one of those jobs. Bring a little more shine to Tiki and Tierney.
I don't know if I could do. I don't know if I could do some days.
What?
Saturdays. I could do some college football. I'd love that.
Yeah, but the ACC does have a network.
They do.
Would you? You'd want to be traveling though for that, would you?
Well, that's the thing with football.
You have to get in like
that's the thing with the NFL.
Thursday?
It's tough going Thursday. If you're West Coast Thursday, come back Monday. It's hard. It's tough.
Yeah. Unless you get a 10-year extension here, you don't have to worry about that.
I like you too much.
Traveling's not as easy as some people think, though. It becomes a pain in the behind after a while. Third hour coming up, Tiki and Tierney.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.